I hope you're serious about singing that song. If you didn't mean the words, I hope you didn't say them. I don't like the line that says, "Bring me to my knees." I'm not really comfortable with that because he does it. It's painful. But it's all part of the process of growing. If you don't feel the pain, you don't feel the joy. There are lots of songs that are dangerous. There's another one that says, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord." Be careful how you sing that one. My pastor's wife has preached several times from the pulpit, "I'm never going to China." Well, she's only been twice. In the beginning, God... Have you got those pics up there yet? They're coming. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. We're going to do the whole Bible today. God created the heaven and the earth, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. Then sin entered the world. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a chat to Adam and say, "Adam, why couldn't you say a two-letter word when she said, 'Here, have the fruit'? No, thank you." What's what he should have said. It would have saved us a lot of trouble. It was a simple act of disobedience, and the first man and the first woman destroyed God's first plan. So God had to initiate a new beginning. Whether you believe or not that God predestined the fall of man and Jesus was his second plan or not, or whether he was his first plan, it doesn't really matter, because it is how it is. And without Jesus, we're not going to make it. We've all had many new beginnings. I'm going to tell you about some of mine and hope you can stay awake. My first new beginning was a conception. Two cells joined together. Each cell had 23 chromosomes, and they came together to make their gametes before they join. They came together to make me with 46 chromosomes. Sometimes people get an extra chromosome, but that gives them extra power. And we have some kids in our care who have that extra chromosome, and they're beautiful. In fact, in October, I was there, and a newborn Down syndrome baby came in. She was this big, absolutely beautiful. The police found her wrapped in an old cloth next to the road, and they brought her in. And this week, I'm bringing her home to Eagles Wings 5, and she will grow up well. In fact, she might even get adopted. We've had a few Down syndrome kids adopted. How good is that? Do you know a Down syndrome person? They're wonderful. I have a phone call the other day from a lady who has adopted two Down syndromes, and she cares for five adults Down syndromes, and she has raised enough money, $500 a month, to care for that new baby. The new baby's name is I Sin Love Heart. And that baby is covered. That baby has a new beginning because somebody cared. After the conception comes the birth. That's another new beginning. My father and mother, 65 years ago, the fathers didn't go in and help the mothers in those days, although what help the father is, I haven't worked that out yet. But these days, the father's supposed to help. And my father said to my mother, "I can't do anything here. I might as well go to and open the shop." And she said, "Fine." But she never forgave him. He should have said, "No, I'm not going to work today. I'm going to stay here and wait," even though it would be a wasted day. He didn't say that. She never forgave him. He's 90 now, and she's been dead for 20 years, and he's in my care. He's like my child. Another new beginning was starting school. Can you remember the first day you started school? It was a great day, but I was so embarrassed. My mother came with me. I knew where the school was. I didn't see why she needed to come. She cried. For goodness sake, what were you crying about? It's going to be great. And off I went to school. The next day she didn't come. Thank goodness. At the age of 7, I accepted Jesus as my personal saviour. I was a Catholic child in a Catholic school being taught by a Catholic nun. And she said, that we need to make a commitment. We need to say, Jesus, I will be a Christian from now on. And she said, you know, you don't have to pray to Mary and the saints because you have the right to go straight to the top. How good is that? So my first time I took communion was a new beginning for me, because that was the day I said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And I've never swerved from that, ever. I grew up, of course, before I grew up. When I was about 7, I was very impressionable, I suppose. And I don't know whether it was a dream or a vision, but Jesus came to me and I was terrified. And I was so afraid that I didn't look up at his face. I looked down, and I can tell you he's got little black hairs on his big toe. But he said to me, come, be a sheep in my flock, feed my lambs. I was 7. That's not a language that 7-year-olds speak. So I realized it was God, it was Jesus, and he commissioned me that day. And I've tried to follow that all of my life. I graduated from Teachers College. That was a new beginning. And my first appointment was at Warwick Central. I had a grade 5. It changed my life forever, because that grade 5 was the most amazing class, the most amazing class I ever taught. And I only taught them for one term because my husband was a bit anxious to get married. I don't know why, but he insisted that we hurry up and get married, because in those days, we had courting. Have you ever been courting? Yeah, you have to stay up late to court, don't you? And Greg always went to bed at 8:30, for goodness sake. And if we weren't married, well, that didn't happen at 8:30. So we had to get married. I always say we had to get married so Greg could go to bed on time. He went to bed on time nearly every night of his life. I don't think he bothers with it now. Do you sleep in heaven? I don't think so. Marriage for me was a big beginning, a huge beginning. I didn't actually love my husband when we got married, but I was going into the convent because I loved Jesus so much I wanted to be his bride. And that's what we were taught, that if you were a nun, you were a bride of Christ. And that's what I wanted to do, to devote my whole life to God. But one day at Teachers College, I was sitting on the grass with my friends having lunch, and Greg Shum came round. Shum rhymes with bum, remember that? Greg Shum came round the corner, and God said, very foolishly, you know, God says some weird things. He said, I want you to marry him. And I said, what? He's going to be bald, he's going to be fat, and he never changes his shirt. He wore the same polyester shirt day after day. You can imagine it in Brisbane. And I said, and you realise, God doesn't know these things. So you've got to tell him, I have to give up my religion, my family, my friends. I mean, what was I going to do with that? And God just said, marry him. And I thought, oh. So after 2 years of being married, I realised I loved him. And that's, I think, how it should be. You shouldn't start with this huge amount of love and then it gets less. And that's what I think happens a lot in these days. You start with a small amount of love and it should get bigger. And it needed to be big because we went through goodness knows what as a married couple. My first struggle with Greg was I wanted to have a baby. I wanted a new beginning. I wanted a baby of my own. Why would we want a baby, he said. We teach kids all day at school. Why would you want to go home to them? Because. And so for 3 years, I talked him into having one little baby because I promised him one little baby wouldn't change our life. Well, I can't be right all the time. And the baby was born 2 months early and he was 2 pound 8 and he stopped breathing 9 times. And Greg kept saying, I told you it'd be a lot of trouble. And it was. He's 40 now, that baby, and he's still a lot of trouble. And where's his father to help me get through Jason's troubles now? Right, Maddie? Don't let me embarrass you, because Maddie is my second oldest grandchild. And sometimes I can see me in her, but fortunately I can see her mother as well, which is good. The birth of each of my children was the most amazing thing, but that first one was a lot of trouble. Greg always, he had bipolar. And if you have bipolar, can somebody shoot me when my time's up? Because I can't see a clock. Anyway, what time am I finished, Nick? Hey? Fine. If you go to sleep, fall off the pew and that'll be a signal. There's a box under here and a man up there presses a button, and after the time's finished, he presses it and I go down. Where was I? Greg had bipolar. When he was up, everything was fine, but when he was down, he couldn't take a risk. And having a baby was a big risk. What if it grew up to be on drugs, sex and alcohol? I mean, you know, it's a big risk. Well, he agreed to let me have that first baby, and I just had to slip all the others in. And he hardly noticed, you know, he was always busy. He was the principal of a school and he was busy. And we went to Yulbar and he didn't have a golf course there, so he built one, and that kept him occupied so I could keep having babies. Well, I had five altogether, but I got three living ones, and I'm very grateful for each one of those. But that was a new motherhood. Was a wonderful new beginning, and I feel sorry for blokes because you just don't get it. I mean, I feel like a bloke now since I've had a mastectomy, but I don't actually need that equipment anymore. But blokes don't get that closeness with their babies, and they should. If you're young enough to have a baby, I don't think anybody here is, are they? There's one. Enjoy it. It's the most amazing beginning. You hold that little thing and it's just perfect. And then it grows up to be 13 and they know everything then. Matt is only 12, so I said, you know, next year you're going to know everything. It's going to be a cool year. Being a widow was a new beginning for me that I hated. We don't always like our new beginnings. On New Year's Eve 2006, my pastor and I, the girl one, not the boy one, the girl one and I were in Hong Kong on our way back from China because Greg had sent me to open the first foster home even though he died just before that. And I was lying in the bed and I was crying and I was trying to be quiet, but my pastor knew I was crying and she prayed all night. And I cried all night and I kept saying to God, I don't like this. I don't want to be a widow. I don't want to be on my own. I don't want to. Have you ever thrown a tantrum on God? I do it all the time. And towards dawn, the firecrackers outside stopped for a little while and I went to sleep. But just before I did, God spoke and he said, you are not alone. I am with you and I will find a way. Say that. You are not alone. I am with you and I will find a way. And that's for not just me. That's for you and you and you and everybody who is within hearing distance. That's just the power of God coming down. But if Greg was still here, there would only be one foster home. There are eight. If Greg was still here, the school wouldn't be as it is today. If Greg was still here, I couldn't devote my whole every waking minute to what God has called me to do. I'd have to be looking after him. And looking after him was something I would do. If God had have let him live, I would have devoted my life to looking after him. But he couldn't hear, he could hear, he couldn't see, he couldn't move, he could blink one eye, and that's all. And so God took him. And I said to God, please heal him or take him. And he took him. And I hated that, I really did. But it was a new beginning, and God has used it in many ways. I've been able to travel the world, which I couldn't do before because I'd have to be home with him. I'm a bit restricted at the moment because my dad is 90 and I can't leave him alone. He's got a carer with him now, so I can do this. But I have an amazing team and they fill in. When I need somebody to mind dad, somebody's always there. Having breast cancer was a new beginning. But it was just a small bump in the road, really. And I don't even think about it much these days, except it's given me a new freedom. I don't have to wear what the rest of you have to wear. Last year, there were a lot of new beginnings. I thought at the beginning of the year I wasn't going to China, but I went three times. The first time I had 2 days' notice. There was a fire in China in a foster home in Henan province, and the Beijing government declared that all foster homes are bad, so all foster children had to go back to their orphanage of origin. At that time I had 58 children and they were going to take them all back, and I thought, strike a light, how stupid is that? So I got on a plane and I had meetings with the Department of Civil Affairs at a provincial level, at a local county level, and I had these meetings and I proved that our homes comply with the fire regulations, we have the right number of staff, we have all the workplace health and safety stuff in place, we have the child management, behaviour management, we have everything in place. And they inspected us and found that we were good. And so they allowed us to keep our children. But there was a kickback. If I wanted to keep the children, we had to open a new school. I had opened a school in 2002 and we ran it very successfully and it was a great thing. But then the government decided to take it back and they wanted to have control of it, bless them. But after 3 years of looking after it themselves, they'd run it into the ground. They didn't even have a real teacher on their employ. They had the kids were doing colouring in. Well, colouring in's all right if you're in church and you've got nothing better to do. But colouring in doesn't teach you much, does it? Who can remember doing colouring in? Some little girls love colouring in and that's fine. It's like fine point needle or doing cross stitch or something. But it's not what you should do all day at school. You're supposed to learn stuff, reading, writing and counting. If you're not doing that, you're not going to be prepared for your adult life. So they begged me to take the school back. And they gave me a whole floor and they gave me some old stuff and we put it together and we now have a very successful school, a new beginning for our education program for our special needs children. And we take in children from other foster homes as well as our own, and we have a total of 50 special needs children attending. And it is magic, and it's getting more and more recognition from the government, and other orphanages are coming over and saying, can you take these five children because they can't go to public school. One little girl came across, her name was Mei Li, and they drove 5 hours to bring her over to me, and I said, why are you bringing her? What's wrong with her? Well, she was in public school and she was too naughty. Too naughty, she's six. Too naughty to go to school. How stupid is... I didn't say that. How stupid is that? She's got Asperger's syndrome. Hello, that's easy. You just know what it is and you manage it. She's settled into our home, she's settled into school, and she is loving school and she is obedient. You've just got to keep the boundaries around Asperger's syndrome. If you know somebody with an Asperger's syndrome, it's dead easy. But you don't just say, well, they can't go to school, they're too naughty. She's as clever as that. Most Asperger's people have superior intelligence. And we need people like that. We need Einstein, Michelangelo, those people. They all were on that Asperger's spectrum. If you look at their symptoms, we need those sorts of people. A new beginning in our school is just what she needed, and her life is going to be successful because of the love that she's getting in our home and the education she's getting in our school. The official line, of course, is still that our foster homes, especially run by foreigners, are inferior to the state-run orphanages, which is a load of guff. They know that, but that's the official line. In June this year, my life changed dramatically because Channel 7 gave me a free trip to China. And they filmed me walking up and down the street, filmed me bringing home kids, they filmed me, it was exhausting. And so, but it was great, really, really great. Except this one day we had to shoot me walking in a crowd and they picked a spot right near this really smelly tofu stand and I'm thinking, So I had to walk by it to just get the shot over and over and over. It made it a new beginning because it aired in Australia and New Zealand in September, and just about everybody saw it. 1.2 million people in Australia saw it. Hands up if you saw it. Yeah, if you hadn't seen it, go to the webpage. It's there already, although we did edit it a little bit. We took out the footage of the baby in the sewer, and we took out the footage of the ties on the floor where the children had been tied, because if the Chinese government saw that, we might just get ourselves into trouble. And I don't like trouble. In October, I had to go back because the official opening with all the hoo-ha of the school. You have to have all these papers signed and you have to have the ceremonies and all the rest of it. And the kids sang songs and I gave a speech in Chinese. I won't practice it on you because, I don't have it here. I'd have to read it. But it was a new beginning because we are now a legal unit in China, recognised by the Chinese government, and they tell me that some funds are coming our way, but I'll believe that when I see it. But it's recognition for our work, and it's amazing. And the new name they chose is Menglin Artong Jiayuan. Say that again. Menglin Artong Jiayuan. It means Linda's Dream Children's Home. How good is that? And I didn't even pick it. The guy that picked the name is now our principal. I had to have a representative of the Department of Civil Affairs on our staff. And I chose a man I have known for 15 years. He says we slept together, but it was in a bus and we had a different row of seats to sleep in, but he calls it sleeping together, but it wasn't really. And his name is Han Gaoji, and he's an old friend of ours. And Greg actually led him to the Lord about the year 2000, I think it was. Led him to the Lord. How good is that? He's a Communist Party member. He's a secret believer, but his wife's a really strong one. She's got the Bible that I bought his mother, because she's dead now. She's got the Bible, and she openly does this with it as she's on her way to church. Hello, Linda. I'm going to church. I'm a Christian now. Yes, that's really good. Don't get me into trouble. Greg used to teach. They knew that he was a good Bible teacher. And in this home, this Han Gaoji used to protect us. He and another official used to stay at the door. And this one particular time, it was absolutely freezing. And they took Greg and I into a bedroom. There was a bed and a chair. And Greg sat in the chair. And over a two-hour period, about 50 people crowded into this room. And then Greg taught using a translator. It was amazing. And then after he finished teaching, he taught for 2 hours. Imagine that. Taught for 2 hours. And then they went out two by two because it was illegal at that time to have a gathering of more than about four people. You might say to yourself, well, I can't do what Linda does. Well, no, probably not. But you've got to look at your talents. You've got to look at your state of everything and think, well, what can I do to fulfil the Great Commission? Well, you've got your mission fields right here. Your mission field starts when you go out the door. Use your talents. I don't care what they are. Use your gifts. I don't care what they are. God has given them to you, and that's your clue as to what you can do. Now, I'll tell you, I can't do much. I'm no good with numbers. I'm no good with doing a roster. I'm no good with so many things. I can't write policy to save myself. But I have this amazing team, and all I do is sit in my chair and direct. It's like conducting an orchestra. You send the photos to the sponsors. You send the reports to the sponsors. You translate the reports for the sponsors. You write the policy. You do the reports to GDG. You do this, you do that, and I don't actually do much at all. How good is that? 2 minutes. Okay. Use your gifts and your talents. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Say it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. All the photos you can see, they're not there. Didn't it work? Ah, never mind. They're new. There's not an old one amongst it. God has one begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But the rest of us, once we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour, have a new beginning as adopted sons and daughters. I got to tell Xiao Jian he'd been chosen by a forever family. He was 13. He cried and cried and cried, and so did I, because, you know, he's my boy. I've had him all his life. But he's going off to America to a new beginning. And today he's a very happy young man. He has his own family, and he never thought he would get it. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Saviour, do it today. If you have accepted him already, make a new beginning, a new revolution, a new revelation of what you're going to do for him this year. But sing those songs and be wary, because God will do it.